Joshua chapter 24. It's good to have Mom with me. It's good to have our friend Barbara Self with us, and she's been such a help and a blessing on the trip, and I sure appreciate her coming with us to help us. Amen. Joshua chapter 24, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 14. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord and serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage in which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God, he is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then will he turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore, put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. Now, Joshua here is making a final plea to Israel to serve the Lord their God. He told them, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. Then he gives them that famous statement that we all look to, right? But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And you know, a lot of folks want to make that statement, don't they? I heard some amens, and that should be our desire for sure. But Joshua tells them how they are going and how we are going to accomplish that. In verse 14, he tells them to put away the gods which your fathers served. That's how we're going to serve the Lord. And the people, he had told them to put these gods away. In other words, get rid of them. But notice their response beginning in verse 16 after he says, but as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. And it said, and the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord and to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. Then, in just a little bit, Joshua would, he noticed their response, not what they said, but he noticed also what they didn't say. He said, put away the strange gods. And they said, oh, no, we'll serve the Lord, right? And in verse number 19, what does Joshua say? And Joshua said unto the people, no, you cannot serve the Lord. And that seems like an odd statement. But he says, ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. Now, we know God is a forgiving God, but what's Joshua referring to here? He notices the fact that they never said that they would put away the false gods. Verse number 19 ends with a period. So verse number 20 is not a continuation of verse number 19 per se. He said, if you forsake the Lord and serve strange God, then will he turn and do you hurt and consume you. After that, he hath done you good. God's going to do good and has already done good. But if you forsake him, he's not going to continue doing good. He's going to bring hurt your way. He's going to bring harm your way. He's going to bring difficulty your way. And the people's response, and the people said unto Joshua, nay, they're getting into an argument here. No, we will serve the Lord, right? And we can see that in the conversation here. No, Joshua, you're wrong. We can serve the Lord. But they never still haven't said, yes, we will put away the strange gods. Joshua won't let it go, though. He said, all right, then, your witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen to serve the Lord. And they said, yep, we are witnesses. But again, Joshua doesn't let it go. Verse 23, now therefore, what? Put away. Put away, said he, Joshua, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. Again, the people give a seemingly spiritual answer. The Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. Look down to verse 31, if you would, please. It says, and Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. And it says they served the Lord, right? But as we know, the book of Judges is just the continuation of the book of Joshua historically. So look at chapter 2, if you would, please, verse number 7. Chapter 2, verse number 7, it says, and the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. Then drop down to verse number 10. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose, what? Another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. Balaam is somewhat of a plural form. In other words, they served multiple gods. It's just like, no, I won't go there because that's not a good comparison. I apologize. But people served Baal To some folks, Baal was one kind of god. To others, Baal was a different god, but they were all called Baal. And so Balaam was just kind of a catch-all term for all these false gods that they served. It says that, and we can see it, that they did not obey the voice of the Lord like he had said. Of the very next generation, it is said, there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. In other words, an entire generation threw out what they had learned. They threw out Deuteronomy chapter 6. Look there if you would, please. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And beginning in verse number 4, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." And this is what Jesus said is the greatest commandment in all the Word of God. Verse number 5, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thine house, and on thy gates." And so they were to teach their children what the Lord had done. They were to talk of it. They were to keep it before them. They were to write it upon the posts of their homes. And you know, a way that we can do that is have something pertaining to Scripture in every room of the house. Miss Sarah, when she was alive, every room had some Scripture in it, including when you're seated on the throne, right? And it was directly across from you. And what are you doing? You're staring at Scripture. You're reading Scripture, things to help. Some of the things were, we printed out on the computer, on 8.5 by 11, went to Dollar General or wherever and bought an 8.5 by 11 frame and hung it right there. What are you doing? You're keeping it in front. But why is it that a generation failed? They failed the next generation, and why is it that that next generation had nothing to do with the Lord? Well, it's because they never said, "We'll put away the strange gods." Think about it. When are they introduced to God and God's ways? They've spent the last 400 plus years in Egypt. Name a prophet that was among them during those 400 years. Name a preacher. Name a priest. Well, it was the head of each household. He was responsible for that. But very few even then knew the Lord. Thank God for Moses' parents who understood. There were people who understood that, Pharaoh wanting to kill our babies was wrong. And they refused to do it. And the midwives, God blessed their untruthfulness. Pharaoh told the midwives, if they have a girl, let it live. If it's a boy, you kill it. When? Before it even cries. And the midwives, I'm sure they delivered a lot of boys and kept them alive. But when Pharaoh realizes there's a lot of boys still being born, Pharaoh asked the midwives, you know, why aren't you doing what I said? They said, well, you know, these Jewish women, they're sturdy as a brick outhouse. And by the time we get there, they're already delivered. They already know that they have a healthy baby boy. And it said that God blessed them for disobeying what the government had said. Amen. Okay. Now, we're not preaching political sermons this morning. We're not teaching a political thing, but there does come a time when we must, right? When what they say goes against what God says. Not because no government's going to tell me I can't wear a seat, that I have to wear a seatbelt. Okay? No, because the word of God doesn't say thou shalt not wear a seatbelt. Right? God said murder's wrong. And if the government mandates murder, then there comes a time when God's people have to disregard what the government says and follow God. But we need to make sure we're following God in it. But here, we've got people, and God's always had a remnant, remember. Elijah, after the contest on Mount Carmel, he told God, he said, you might as well just kill me. I'm the only one left. And God said, quit your whining. I've got 7,000 that haven't bowed their knee to Baal. Now, of those 7,000, we hear of one, Elijah. And I'm sure here in Egypt, you had those who did it the way that they had been taught God wanted it done. But as of yet, there still wasn't the written word of God. So many of the people were following the gods of the Egyptians. You say, well, how do you know that? Because of all those that screamed, Moses, take us back to Egypt. We want to go back to Egypt. We want that life. But these people had come from Egypt toting their little gods. Years ago, we used to buy this for the kids in Sunday school. It was called Bubba Cola. I think it was from Save-A-Lot. And for some reason, there was one in the pulpit, and I was preaching something similar, and I set it up there, and I said, our God, Bubba. But they had their little gods with them. They were packed away, right? And so they had them. They kept them, but they went along with the program that Moses was teaching. Once they came out, toting these false gods, God then brings them to Mount Sinai, and Moses is given the law of God, right? The people in chapter 19 of the book of Exodus, it tells us the people are at the base of the mountain, and they hear the voice of God. And they hear God say, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And then, we can't handle hearing the voice of God. Moses, you go talk to him, and then you come tell us. So Moses is up on the mountain 40 days. And within that month and a half, less than a month and a half, after hearing the voice of God say, thou shalt have no other gods before thee. Thou shalt not make unto me any graven image. Within a month and a half, Aaron, we don't know what happened to Moses. He's been gone over a month now. Make us gods and take us back to Egypt. Okay, give me your earrings. And he puts it in a big pot and they melt it. And Aaron tried I think he was the first one that came up with the Big Bang Theory, right? Moses comes down, they're dancing around this golden calf, and Aaron says, I don't know, we just put it in there and bang, out popped this golden calf, right? Aaron's trying to tell Moses, we were just melting gold, you know, and this came out. Did they pour it out onto the ground and this is what it looked like? No, they fashioned it after the imagination of their own hearts. And so they still had that within them. Maybe patterned after some of the Egyptian trinkets that were proposed to be gods. Maybe it looked like them. You know, if it hadn't been such a big problem, Joshua would not have had to been so persistent about it in Joshua 24. If it weren't such a big problem today, independent fundamental Baptist preachers wouldn't have to be so persistent about it. Now, no, it may not look like, you know, some little trinket that, you know, wood, stone, plastic, you know, it may not come in this form and we bow down to some little trinket, but there's things in our lives that steal us away from God. Our heart isn't 100% with Him because there's something else. You know who suffers the most for it? The next generation. I remember years ago, one of our teachers at college said, your children always gravitate to your weakest point. This might be where I am normally, and this is my fundamental extreme, and this is my worldly extreme. Where do the kids gravitate or center their lives? Right here. Their spiritual extreme is where our normal was. But where does their worldly extreme go? Far beyond where we ever were. This is where our gods lie. A God, Jesus was accused of making himself out to be God in John chapter 10. Years ago, when we went to Sistersville, we hadn't started the church yet. I was at a park handing out the tracts for our church that we were going to start. And I was talking to this one younger fellow, and all of a sudden an older man came up, and it was this guy's dad, and the dad starts telling me, well, you can become a God just like Jesus did. They were Jehovah's Witnesses. And saying that, you know, their New World's translation of the Holy Scriptures is John 1:1, in the beginning, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. And then this guy begins to quote to me John chapter 10 from the King James. And he's saying, have I not called you gods? Right? And that threw me. Not that I thought, well, maybe that is the case, but how'd they come up with that? And so I began to study that, and it refers back to Psalm 82, where it starts off, how long will you judge unjustly? Have I not called you gods? A God is a judge, a determiner of right and wrong, a determiner of what a person does. And sometimes we allow things into our lives that become determiners of what we do. And if something says, you know, to do this, and we do it, but it goes against the Lord, that has become our judge, our determiner of what we do, our God. So he says, put away those strange gods. You cannot fully, completely serve the Lord if you're still playing around with these. Okay? Now, I will say this about Blessed Hope Baptist Church. There's no other church like this. And I mean that in a good way. You had a pastor many years ago that led you in the right way. Amen. So often when someone new comes in, it's new ideas, new ways of doing things. But I hope you know how blessed you've been that you've had a pastor who has said, Dad brought us this far for the Lord. He didn't make things lax. He tightened it up. You know, that's what Jesus did. You've heard it said, thou shalt not kill. We've heard people talk about, well, I don't follow the letter of the law, I follow the spirit of the law, right? The letter of the law said, thou shalt not kill. But what's the spirit of the law? Jesus gave us that. If you hate someone, you've already killed them. The spirit of the law doesn't make things lax. It tightens it up. Thou shalt not commit adultery. That's the line. That's the letter of the law. But I say, if you look upon a woman in lust, you've already committed adultery with her. That's the spirit of the law. That tightens things up. It's not just crossing this line. It's the road to that line. That's the spirit of the law. You've had a pastor who has introduced more the spirit of the law. And I hope you understand what a gift you have from God in this church. The singing, hearing the kids sing, the joy that they sing with, it's amazing. I tell people, have you ever been to Blessed Hope Baptist Church in Jasonville, Indiana? Where's that, right? And I'll tell them, I'll say it's something you have to see at least once. And I know you have problems in your church just like in any other. I understand that. But you know what causes the problems within any church? The gods that we're not willing to let go of. Joshua was pretty persistent about it. Why was Joshua persistent about it? Because God's persistent about it. And he's given it to us in his word. So it's not Joshua telling us this, it's God telling us this. It's God being persistent. The more of those gods that we put away, just get rid of, excommunicate, the more we will be able, as for me and my house, will serve the Lord and the next generation. And that's another blessing about this church. The next generation and the next generation have been here and are serving the Lord. And that's a unique trait, folks. I've always said, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, I believe, is the model church in our generation. And I believe that. And I've told Pastor Ross, I've told several of the fellows that I've been acquainted for more than a quarter of a century. This daddy, this pastor, could not have handpicked a better place for my little girl to come to. And I mean that with all my heart. And I want to say thank you to Blessed Hope Baptist Church for loving her as your own child. It's been such a blessing. Father, help us to identify those gods that we have brought with us from another country. Help us to identify, go through our stuff and identify the gods that we brought with us out of Egypt. Help us to put them away. Help us, Father, to share with the next generation how sweet it is to serve the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.